Welcome to Dog Travel Experts. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host Paris from DogTipper.com, who is a travel expert, with great ideas and advice about getting out of the house with your dogs, whether it's around the block or around the world. We'll answer any question right here tonight, 888-627-6008, or you can send them by email to RadioPetLady@gmail.com. You can also send your mailing address for a sample of Whole Life Pets freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs. We'd like to thank our sponsors and let you know we've invited these companies to be here. Dog Travel Experts is a production of Eight Paws LLC and LT Media Group LLC, which are solely responsible for its content. Give us a call, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. And stay tuned right after the show for The Expert Vet with Dr. Donna Spector, right after this show. Hello there, Paris. How fun to be together again on Dog Travel Experts. It's a flying night tonight, isn't it?
It is. I think it's going to be a very exciting topic because that's something a lot of our readers ask us about taking their dog in the airplane with them in cabin on the flight. And now that it's almost summer, you know, practically speaking, it is summer. I think a lot of people are going to be getting ready for that summer vacation with their dog.
Well, we are excited to welcome a very special friend of this show. Preston Speaks is the coolest blog, a lovely 17-pound White West Highland White Terrier, which is called a Westie. To those of you that aren't familiar, the Westie people, of course, would only call each other Westies. Rachel, you are basically Preston's scribe. You channel what he's thinking and what he wants to write about, and it's often about flying and traveling. Welcome to the show. We're so pleased you're here.
Hi, Paris and Tracy.
Hi,
yes,
Rachel.
I'm his scribe and his assistant, I guess is the better way to put it.
He keeps you plenty busy. I wish I could have an assistant as good as you. He's lucky. He's got it made in the shade. We're going to give the number out because I know that a lot of the people that read his wonderful blog might very well be listening and wanting to know, to hear from you and then sort of from him in person because they've probably been reading you for years and they want to know who's the real Rachel. That number is 888-627-6008 if you have any questions to ask about airplane travel. Rachel, you're super lucky because you get to have your little guy in the cabin with you. I know there's a lot of issues around having the dog in the belly of the plane, which sometimes is just unavoidable for long distances. But what are some of the things that you face? What are some of the things that people say to you? Well, what do you do about the X-ray machine? What do you do about check-in? I mean, are those really big issues?
There are issues you need to prepare for, but with a little bit of preparation and just knowing what to expect, you can make the experience of traveling with the dog as pain-free as you can while still traveling.
So what would you say is one? What is
one of the TSC?
I bet. Is that him? Is that the famous?
Oh, yes, it is. Sorry.
Oh, my God. That's Preston speaking. Paris.
Preston speaking.
Yes, my God, this dog is a genius. How high is his IQ? I can't believe it. He's like, yes, Preston Speaks. That's the name of my blog. And here I am going to speak to you right now. What kind of hassle
is he? He wants to make sure
you
hear him.
So we hear him, and we love that he's here. Don't you think that he has to be shushed? We want his voice in the background. Gives it that authenticity. What are some of the hassles that you face, let's say, just on the line where you're going through and showing your passport or your driver's license? And is he out of the carrier at that moment? You keep him in the carrier?
Yes, he is. With TSA, obviously you have to follow all the rules and regulations you would do without traveling with your pet, such as taking your shoes off, the laptop, the travel items.
Right.
But the dog has to come out of the carrier, and you have to carry him through the metal detector while the carrier goes through the X-ray machine.
Okay.
So your dog has to be comfortable with getting in and out of that carrier. And while you're trying to juggle everything else, getting your laptop, you're holding onto a dog with one hand too.
Oh, charming. And you can't put him on the floor, or you could?
You can, but they require that you carry him through the X-ray or the metal detector.
So
you have to hold
point,
him, and then they swab your hands down after you walk through.
They swab your hands in case he's got, like, bomb dust on him?
They do. They swab for the explosives, and then sometimes certain TSA agents will pat him down too to make sure that we haven't hidden anything in his fur, I guess. So we
they
do
pat
training
him
with Preston to
oh
get
my
used
God.
To people.
Does he ever protest about that, or he's like, "Cool, I love to be patted."
Actually, I think he's about the only person at the airport or animal that loves TSA.
Yes.
He thinks they're all
right.
there for his attention.
I love it. I love it. What about that? If you go into that booth, the clear shower booth, and you're supposed to put your hands over your head to be X-rayed. You can't hold a dog and put your hands over your head at the same time.
No. Luckily, you don't. The newer technology where they take the pictures, you don't go through that part of it. They send you through the older technology with the metal, and then
then
you're pulled aside for the extra screening.
Okay, because they know from the get-go you're going to have some extra screening with the dog. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. So they don't want
Definitely.
Her. They need her to go through the special area anyway. And what about the carrier? They don't make any particular fuss about that. They just send it on the X-ray belt, and that's it, right?
Mm-hmm. They'll send it through, and then if something shows up, then they will open up the compartments and send it back through again, just like they would with your normal luggage.
Right.
Tip with when you're going through the metal detector is to pay attention to what kind of collar and leash you have for your dog, because the less
Ooh.
Metal, the less likely Ooh. You will set that off and then have to even do more screening. So,
what do you use?
Travel collar.
What is his travel collar made of?
It's a cloth with just a little bit of metal for the buckle, and that's it. And there were rivets where you put to adjust, and I took all those out. So
oh
he just wears
God.
That collar in the airport.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I guess you could also have the ones that have the plastic that snaps together.
Mm-hmm.
That's another style.
That would work, too. And
you
have
buckle,
to remember
right?
to take off their ID tags, too,
oh
because those
goodness.
Are usually metal.
Oh, that's a good tip. Now, I guess if you could find mm-hmm. a plastic ID tag, you could keep that on. If you had something all plastic
but
or cloth even.
But the hanging mm-hmm. part is metal, and that would set it off, I guess. Just the little ring would set it off?
I don't
Not
think a little
ring,
tiny ring would. I leave my wedding ring on when I go through security.
But honey, your little metal, I hope your wedding ring, I hope John loves you more than to give you a wedding ring made of metal. I hope it's actually gold, because
you
the
know,
funny thing about
it doesn't make any difference at all to the metal machine, though.
Oh yes,
you know?
It does. You can go dripping in gold jewelry. I've done it: a gold necklace, three gold watches, not one gold watch, three bracelets. It does not view gold as a metal. So I guess a terrorist, if he wanted to do something, could make it of pure gold, and it goes through without making a peep. But it's unlikely that your ring is made of the same ring that Preston's ring that holds his ID tag on is. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping John sprung
let's,
for the
let's
real
hope
thing.
Not. I hope not. So, but you
so
know,
Rachel,
know,
sorry, go ahead, Paris.
No, I know there are some special ID tags that you can get. And, of course, some people get very do-it-yourselfy, and they will make cloth tags that your collar slips through. You know, so
really?
you feed the collar through a tag, so it's not dangling, so that you don't have that metal. So that's
they
one option.
They do that for travel?
Yes, for travel. So
wow.
Yeah.
So it's like writing on a piece of, a Sharpie marker that doesn't wash off on a piece of cloth.
Exactly, like a laundry pen.
Oh my gosh. See?
Yeah.
Now you learned something you never thought of, right, Rachel? Or maybe you thought of it and rejected it. Who knows?
No, I'm actually going to go check that out.
That's a really cool idea, because I can't imagine the hassle of taking off the tags. Oh, my God, you break your fingernails. Meanwhile, I just want to say one little thing. Paris said, oh, no, there's this really great thing, and you can get it on Amazon, and it's just like a lobster clip, and you can just clip your tag on it. I'm like, really? That's great. I do everything Paris tells me. We get off the show. I go right on Amazon. I see these lobster clips. I order them. Of course, I ask my husband to do it on Amazon Prime. So he orders 6 because he figures you might need backups. So now I've got $23 worth of what's supposed to be a cheap item. And sure
You're
enough,
ready
it's
ready to travel now.
Yeah, it's totally useless, because that lobster needs another ring to hang for it to hang on. So now mm-hmm. you have 2 rings, and it's banging against their chest, and it would be 2 more reasons to be thrown out of the X-ray booth.
But you're not going to fly with your dog, though.
No, I'm not going to fly, but I'm also – yeah, I sent them all back. It's all right. I sent them all back because the tag was hanging down in the middle of his chest.
Mm-hmm.
it didn't really help me because I still then would have to do that ringy dingy on every collar, that same split ring.
Right.
You can't get around the split ring. You basically are going to ruin your fingernails no matter what way you look at it. So Rachel and I are going to consider this thing written on cloth. So Rachel, when you get through the machine and now you've passed the pat down, does he just hang out outside of his carrier until you board?
No, the airports, all the ones we've traveled through have required that unless the dog is a service dog, they must go back in the carrier. So he has to go back in his carrier before we leave the TSA area, and he stays in that carrier until you land and you leave the airport.
Wow.
So you have to really train your dog to be used and comfortable in that carrier. But Preston, he sleeps the whole time. It's his nap time. So.
What an angel. What kind of things did you think about when you got that carrier, knowing that he could be in there for quite a lot of hours between – you know, the TSA and then waiting for the flight and getting on the flight and landing and then getting to the exit. That could be quite a few hours, even if it's not a super long trip. What features did you look for in the carrier?
First of all, the most important one is to find out what the size requirements of your airline is, because the dog will go underneath the seat at your feet. So you have to make sure that carrier will fit under there. And then once I found some carriers that fit those dimensions, I looked for ones that had really comfortable padding for him to lay on.
Right.
And then I also looked for ones that had really comfortable shoulder straps, because you're
right.
Carrying that dog all through the airport. And it never fails. You'll land at one gate and you have to get all the way across airport while holding an 18-pound dog. So factor in your comfort as well.
Wow. So you can tell us what brand you picked. We're curious.
We use Sturdy.
Sturdy.
Top is a dome shape, but it's flexible. So when it goes under the seat, it flattens out a little bit, so he has more room to lay down and stretch his legs out.
Smart.
That's nice.
Smart. Mm-hmm. Is there any rule about whether the dog has to be able to stand up or turn around in the carrier? We had heard that, but it sounds like at his size, he better be lying down or he's going to be squished.
Actually, he can turn around barely. It is one of the requirements, but it's hit or miss as far as the enforcement. Sometimes when we go check in, they'll want to look at Preston. Other times they just say it's a dog and I go on through. But obviously you want the dog to be comfortable. But
well,
he can turn around and sit up as well.
He can sit up?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Barely. he's good at – we do earth dogs, so he's used to fitting into smaller spaces.
In a tight
so
space.
He can maneuver pretty well.
That's
you know,
hilarious.
One thing I've wondered, Rachel, do you usually select an aisle seat, or do you have a preference there, one that might have a little more room there?
I usually pick the window seat. Mm-hmm. So I can get in there first and get them all situated. And we always fly Southwest because they allow dogs up to 20 pounds, and he barely fits that requirement. And it seems the window seat has a little bit more room. And that way he's only sitting beside one other person.
Good point.
Instead of the middle seat where if someone's not comfortable with a dog, there's two people on either side.
Right. And probably
we always let the people know that there's a dog there, too.
Yeah.
So they don't get shocked when your hand luggage turns out to emerge and it's alive. I guess that the curved mm-hmm. wall of the airplane gives you that little bit more space taking the window seat. This is really cool, imagining this. We're going to go to a break, but when we come back, we have tons more questions for Rachel and for Preston. If you have any questions, you want to travel on a plane, but you're a little nervous, you're worried, what if they reject you at the airport and your whole trip is ruined? I bet Rachel can help you. 888-627-6008. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Waruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility, so it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those you're trying to transition away from dry foods, which Waruva chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the Pheromone Products Feel-Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptyl can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and feel-away diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend feel-away and Adaptyl as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who've just left their litters. Look for feel-away and Adaptyl at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals Omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. We are back. You're listening to Dog Travel Experts. I'm Tracy Hotchner here with my co-host Paris from DogTipper.com and one of the very special friends of the show, Rachel from Preston Speaks, which is a very cool blog about a much-traveled Westie. And we're discussing with her the kinds of challenges about her carrier and how she schleps it around the airport and if she gets through the x-ray machine and poor Preston has to stay in it the whole time. Have you ever sat next to someone who freaks out and goes, a dog, I can't bear it, I can't sit here? Has that ever happened?
We had one lady that was uncomfortable, but luckily we tried to board the plane early, so she switched. But most of the time we get great feedback. By the time the flight's over, they're pulling their phone out, showing us their pictures, and we just have a great conversation.
That's really nice. I've noticed a lot of people in the old days when I used to fly quite a bit to Europe, people would take their dog out of the carrier and nobody made a really big fuss about it. Have you ever tried to do that or open the top for him, or is it just really a no-no?
It is a no-no. One time I did take him out a little bit. We were on a flight that landed at an airport, and we stayed on that plane and then went on to the next location, and the flight attendants actually wanted to see him. So we got him out, and he hung out on the seats and got made over and everything. So I think it really depends on the mood of the flight attendants as well.
Yeah, because you obviously don't want to do anything to jeopardize your future travel with him, right?
Oh, no, definitely.
Now, when you said that Southwest had the upwards limit of 20 pounds, what is the upwards limits on some other airlines that's lower?
Some of them, the maximum is 15 pounds. And the carrier has to be smaller because they have more of those regional size jets and airplanes as well. So it's just across the board. And the pet fees are across the board as well.
And it really varies a lot. KLM has pretty small, you know, maximum size for your dog weight-wise. You know, and like we were talking about on a previous show, I know some people have had difficulties with their dogs who are long-legged. Good dogs. They may be okay weight-wise, but their dog is a little tall, like an Italian Greyhound.
Didn't think
so
of that.
So that's another factor, you know. So
did the airline give them a hard time saying your dog can't stand up?
Yes, I have heard that one woman was not allowed to board with her Italian Greyhound because he could not stand in his carrier because he has those long Italian Greyhound legs.
And probably weighed all of 10 pounds. Ooh, she must have been pretty mad.
Yeah, and you know, like Rachel was saying, so often it depends on just who you happen to run into that day, you know, so it can really vary a lot. But you want to check and make sure, you know, what are those maximum sizes, you know, for your carrier, for the weight, for the height, everything, you know, so that you're good to go regardless of who shows up that day to check you onto the plane.
But I wonder, how nervous does that make you, Rachel, given that he's kind of borderline in terms of how well he can turn around, how well he can stand up? We all know that obviously you want him with you. He adores being with you. He loves traveling. He's like the real star of the show. But how anxious does it make you wondering and worrying that somebody's a stickler and says, well, he can't really turn around well enough? Do you stress at all? Are there a couple of moments during travel where your heart's pounding a little faster and your adrenaline's flowing and then you go, phew, when you get through? Or do you not worry like that?
In the beginning, I did worry quite a bit. But what I started to also do is I printed out all the rules of the airline I was traveling
Smart
on. If there ever was a question, I could pull that out.
And so far, I've never
had to prove that, but there has been times I've had to ask for them to get a supervisor, especially in the beginning. But I always, not until you get on that plane and get the dog under the seat, you're always a little nervous.
That's right.
So far, we've had amazing experience flying and no real problems.
And how long are most of the routes that you go on?
Anywhere from an hour to 4.5 hours. We fly to the West Coast with the Amazing Pet Expos and down just locally around us. We're based in Kentucky. So, and he just sleeps the whole time. We're lucky that he does that. But he doesn't seem to mind.
Mm-hmm. And do you know the quickest place to go outside for a quick pee in most of these airports? Is that something you've studied ahead of time?
I do look that up ahead of time. Most of the major airports do have the pet relief areas. Unfortunately, they're not very convenient at all. They're usually outside of the secure terminals, through baggage claim, maybe in a parking garage. So if you do have a layover, it's not very practical unless it's a long one, because you're going to have to go through that whole TSA process again. What we do is we limit his food 12 hours before his flight to hopefully get everything worked through, and then his water about 4 hours.
Smart.
So you know, I heard recently, I think it was Chicago Midway, has opened or is opening a pet relief area within TSA secured zone. So when you're connecting, you don't have to leave the secured zone. But, you know, that's a smaller airport. It's not O'Hare. So, you know, but at least it's a start in the right direction. I think that's exciting to hear that there are some airports getting that relief area inside security.
Otherwise, it becomes unmanageable. You can't – the time constraints are so awful. If anybody else has had a good experience or a bad experience or wants to have the experience of flying with their dog and wants to know how Preston does it, you can ask Rachel. 888-627-6008. And we have Carrie on the line. Carrie, welcome to Dog Travel Experts. Great to have you here.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Excellent. Do you have a question for Paris or for Rachel?
Well, you know, just as I was dialing, they started to address the issue of a relief area. So I got an answer to my question there. But I did have a comment, something I'd like to share.
Good.
I've traveled with Oliver, my 9.5-pound Papillon, on Delta. And they had told me on two occasions that I was welcome after we took off and reached a certain, you know, I guess cruising altitude, that I could take his carrier and put it on my lap and unzip the top as long as he was secured inside. There's a strap and a hook that you know, you can connect your dog to on the inside of the carrier. So all of him was allowed to then sit up with his head out of the carrier and, you know, as long as he was secured in. And since I've had that happen a couple of times, I don't know if it's a Delta policy or if I just had, you know, pet-friendly
attendance. Yeah, right.
This must be Carrie from All Things Dog Blog, isn't it?
Carrie from All Things Dog Blog. Oh my God, it's a special
when you
friends
said,
night.
When you said Oliver, I thought this is Carrie from All Things Dog Blogs.
That's so cool.
Yes.
Well, you know, I wonder if Delta is that little bit friendlier. Were these international flights or national?
No, they were inside the U.S. So I'm not
sure. I wonder if a carrier that
That was something that's common among them, but it has been Delta both times that it's happened. And it really did make for a comfortable flight for Oliver, just being able to be on my lap. He didn't care if he was sitting in that thing at all.
Right,
and of course, he was making eyes at all the ladies and having a ball.
Yes, exactly. Rachel, Rachel, did you ever ask, could I put the carrier up on my lap and open it, or did you just not want to rock the boat? Or you were thinking he was so happy?
I haven't, but next flight I think I'm going to ask, because I think Preston would rather be up in my lap.
Yeah, and you would
rather
have him up there,
too. Try it out and see what they say.
I think it's a great idea.
Even
I mean, I don't know if Carrie.
Open. Yeah.
I mean, the people we're talking over each other. The people that I had seen take a carrier out, I mean, the pet completely out of the carrier and put the pet on their lap, it was in first class. But I mean, rules are rules. I don't think that they let them just because they were in first class, but maybe they did. I mean, the rules used to be you could only have one pet per cabin. But, of course, Southwest is all one cabin, and most American airlines are sort of all one cabin. I wonder if that's still the rule, Rachel. Do you know?
They have mentioned before when I've booked the reservations, because when you book your flight, you do need to call and talk to an agent and have the dog put on your ticket. And they've mentioned to me that there are only a certain number that's allowed, but I've never heard the maximum amount. I've seen a couple other dogs on our flight, but never more than three or four at a time.
Yeah, because I think it is more than one, you know, within coach. It's more than one. It may be one in first class, but I believe it's more than one. You know, it's multiple in coach. Of course, on a smaller plane, it's going to be, you know, fewer dogs in coach. But I know recently there was a celebrity issue. There were two people with dogs in first class on a plane. One was a celebrity, and she brought her dog out. She had her dog there, and she wound up giving up her first class seat because she did not want to fly without her dog with her. So
wow.
She moved back to coach. So I know that was in the news pretty recently. I don't remember who that was, but I know that airplane had a rule, one in first class. But like I said, usually so a couple, two or three, depending on size of the aircraft in coach.
Wow, that was a costly move.
Yeah.
Too bad she couldn't get her several thousand dollars back for the slightly larger seat, which is about all you get, right? So, Carrie, how did Rachel's description of going through the security, did that ring a bell for you? Is that sort of what your experience has been like? Did Oliver ever get patted down like Preston, or is he just more adorable?
Actually, he did, but he thoroughly enjoyed it, so it didn't, you know, he didn't mind at all. He's really fluffy, so I think that they're probably even more concerned about a dog with longer hair hiding something. So they asked me if he was friendly, and of course he's giving them all the body language that says, I'm friendly. So
right, please give me some attention.
Yeah, perfectly happy to be patted down.
So funny.
Probably asking for more, but
well,
that is not
you know,
a problem.
It does sound like that printing out of the rules, Rachel, is a brilliant idea. Sounds really, really smart because, you know, it's all very well for you to say, but the rules were this last week, and they can just say, too bad, because of course the truth is they are allowed to change the rules at any time, right? By their rules, aren't they?
You know, I think almost always when we book, whether it's an airline, an aircraft or a hotel, you know, those are always, you know, there's always a chance that they change. But just like we were talking about last week, you know, it's always good to print everything out.
Yes.
And to, you know, to carry things with you, just like Rachel talked about, and get the name of people you talked with.
Exactly. Carrie, yeah. Have you set off the metal detector when you went through the X-ray with his collar or leash or anything?
No, I haven't. Thankfully.
Thankfully, you didn't have to take the rivets out like Rachel did. Well, we're thrilled that you called in. Did you have any other questions? We have to go to a break, but if you want to stick around, we're delighted to have you here because Rachel is a fountain of information. You want to stick around, or was that it?
I'm all done. Thank you, though.
Terrific. We're so glad you called in. Wonderful to hear from you. Have a wonderful night and safe travels. Rachel, we'll be right back after this break with more from the air. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxiCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Catatrack litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are back. You're listening to Dog Travel Experts. I'm here with my great cohort and co-host, Paris, from DogTipper.com, and our special guest and special friend, Rachel from Preston Speaks, the marvelous little Westie that travels around America for amazing pet expos and maybe just for fun. So, Rachel, what about when you get to hotels? I know we're talking about the airport, but Paris and I have talked a lot about these hotel issues. Have you come upon hotels where they wouldn't let you leave him alone in the room if you wanted to go out to dinner?
Yes. Again, that's another issue where you need to research. There are hotel chains that are more friendly than other ones. I'm lucky that Preston's small enough that if I'm staying at a hotel that doesn't allow me to put him in the room while I'm gone, I'll find a local restaurant with a patio, and we hang out there. But again, that's another situation which I print up the rules and bring with me too, because it's across the board as well, based on the mood of whoever checks you in. So
right, or if they just don't know any better. So maybe they've never encountered somebody traveling with a dog, and there are those people that are just like, there's yes men, there's no ladies, and some people just no is the first thing out of their mouth, and you need to show them in writing that it's different. Are there chains that you can think of that you choose over others because of their genuine dog friendliness?
Yes, when we travel for the Amazing Pet Expos, we stay at Red Roof Inn a lot, and if there's not one of those in the city we're staying at, La Quinta is very pet friendly. All their rooms for both chains are pet friendly. Where some other hotels will say they're pet friendly, and they might only have five rooms. And those two chains don't charge a pet fee as well. So that's
nice. Wow, because Paris, you've talked to me about some of these hotels charging $50 to $100 not only once as a cleaning fee, but sometimes the naughty ones tack it on every day, which is really wrong.
It can be tacked on per day and per pet. If you have two pets, you might wind up with double the fee. So I think both those chains are a great bargain for travelers. You know, that really is a substantial savings, especially, you know, if you're traveling with your dog for multiple days, that is a really big savings.
Oh, and Rachel, what about a fee on the airplane? I forgot to ask you, do they charge you to have him in his carrier?
Yes, they do. On Southwest, it's $75 each way, and the other airlines vary. I've seen fees up to $250 each way. So it's all across the board. And some airlines require health certificates from a vet within so many days ahead of time, too. And that's additional expense because most vets are going to charge you an office visit to fill out that form as well.
Wow.
Rachel, I was going to ask you about how much you do have to pay. Like, for you'd get the certificate of veterinary inspection, or do you just get just a note from your vet usually?
The one time I've flown on an airline that wasn't Southwest, Southwest doesn't require it. They only require you to bring proof of vaccination. My vet just filled out a basic, he had a standard letter that just says the dog's in good health and here's the shots and the dates they were administered. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's a standard, like, industry-wide form that you have to have.
Mm-hmm. So you had that cost of the office visit, though, so that can be kind of substantial. I mean, that's not inexpensive. So, you know,
I think that's
in the stress of getting there right before you travel, too.
That's right.
And getting all that done while you're packing and all that, too.
And remembering, it's got to be X days before. And then what if you stay on a little while? Then that same certificate wouldn't be valid on the return if you'd had it done too soon before your departure.
Mm-hmm. Most people know that airlines need that go the day before.
Yeah. If you had an extended, if you're going to leave for the summer or something, you know, you could run into needing that veterinary visit on both ends of your trip, especially if it's an international trip. That's where you're really going to run into that certificate of veterinary inspection or CVI. You know, that's where you really need that. Although it varies a lot from airline to airline. So you just have to always ask. You know, you just can't assume. You just have to ask and do like what Rachel does and fly the same carrier over and over. And then you've got that baseline. You already know what to expect. That's smart. Right.
If you can do that, I think it makes a giant difference because, you know, the veterinary inspection, let's say it says you have to have it within 10 days before you travel. But if you're super organized and do it a week before you go and then you stay over even a handful of days, suddenly on the return, it's older than 10 days, right? The letter, the certificate, or whatever. And if you happen to be going abroad and it didn't last long enough, I mean, getting one of those, I tried to get one of those forms once in Italy. Like any form you try to get in Italy, it becomes a project unto itself. Office after office and people with rubber stamps, they're banging on things and it's not available everywhere. You have to go to a major city and then you ask here and then they're closed for lunch. So that's another it'd be better to have the American on with you and just hope that on the return you use a U.S. airline that would accept your American form. But I guess within America, there's not so much of that, right, Rachel?
No, I mean, as long as you've got the paperwork, they usually just glance over it and let you go on through, as long as you've got something to give them, pretty much. So
I'm amazed at how costly it is. $75 each way is like a cheap fee? That seems like a fortune to me.
It's one of the cheapest ones out there right now. But for me, I'd much rather pay that extra and have Preston with me on vacation.
Oh, of course you would.
I would think if I had to board him, I'd pay that much almost in a week of boarding. So, and
that's
he gets
absolutely
to spend
right.
time with the family.
Yeah, and then emotionally, you know, you wouldn't feel comfortable with boarding him anyway if you've never done it. I mean, that becomes a whole nother challenge. Well, Rachel, this is really quite marvelous. What are the other things that people ask you or that you want to warn people about, suggest that they deal with ahead of time? What are some of the things that people sometimes maybe don't stop and think about?
One big one is to make sure you bring their food along with you and make sure you have at least one serving in your carry-on bag, because if you do, your flight does get delayed or canceled and you're stuck at the airport. There, you can't go buy your dog's food in the airport,
right.
And you really don't
right.
want to change their food or you're going to have digestive problems. So we always carry a bag of his food just in case.
That's really smart. And also, if you had the food in your luggage and your luggage was delayed or partly lost, it's like your really important medications and your dog food should be in your hand luggage for that reason. Of course, you can't use canned food in your hand luggage because
right.
that would be too large a container. But obviously kibble or a raw dehydrated food like the Honest Kitchen, that is extremely portable and doesn't take up much space.
But, you know, I think an important thing, too, is I know in talking with Rachel, you're not able to bring a carry-on bag. Preston is your carry-on bag, right? You can carry your purse. And so that's about it, isn't it?
As one of my two bags. So
that's
I have
ridiculous.
A small personal bag, and it's mostly filled with all Preston stuff. So if I get stranded, Preston's comfortable. I don't have anything, but it's important that we've got everything for Preston. So,
God.
That varies
no
among the airports, airlines, too.
That's crazy. I mean, everyone else is allowed to carry on a carry-on for free. You don't get your free one. You get charged through the nose for bringing him. That is very – I guess they figure if they can charge for everything now, charge you for the napkin that comes with your unfree drink. I guess they're going to charge for the dog because they figure anyone who wants to travel with their dog is going to pay. If they have to pay, they'll pay, right? But the food's definitely an issue.
It is very much an issue. And, you know, I think there are a lot of companies answering those needs with special travel clothing. And this is not just for pet travelers, but for all travelers. There are, you know, there are lines of clothing just manufactured for travelers with extra big pockets and things, because that doesn't count as your carry-on. You can have a vest with pockets, you know, and go
that's
on with it.
That's a great idea.
Not your carry-on. So there's quite a market for travelers' clothing, you know, to help get you around that a little bit. And that's a good thing for, you know, for pet parents that are traveling with their pets. So, you know,
you can
you're
have
free.
The brush,
you still got just your purse.
All of his
exactly.
stuff, his brush and his food and his whatever. Gosh, you know, I totally forgot to send a shout out to the Halo pop-up shop in New York City where we're simul broadcasting. If you guys are all there, you travel with your dogs. Lots of New Yorkers travel with their dogs. The Halo City Tales New York City pop-up shop is right at the corner of 47th and Lexington. And I totally forgot to say hi to all you guys because I know that the show is simul-broadcasting in there. You all need to go to PrestonSpeaks.com, which is a very cool blog by a Westie who does a lot of traveling. And his person, Rachel, is the one giving us lots of tips. So, Rachel, if you weren't allowed to leave him in a hotel room and there weren't a patio restaurant to eat in or it was not the right weather to eat outside, then what would you do? I mean, could you squeeze him into an under-your-arm bag and kind of sneak him into a restaurant?
I could try, but Westies are very vocal, so he would make himself known. I've had those situations, and honestly, I'll just go through a drive-thru and just so I can stay with them. But I also try to plan ahead and find some pet-friendly restaurants on either on our route or close to maybe one of the expos that we're attending or our hotel, and I try to at least have a couple places in my back pocket that I know I can go to.
Smart. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You don't want to have that embarrassing moment where he's saying, man, that steak smells good, arf, arf, because that could be super embarrassing.
Preston would be speaking. So, you know, Rachel and I are going to be going to some patio restaurants in Dallas and Fort Worth this weekend, you know, when we have some free time on the expo. So we're looking forward to
talk about the expo. Explain what you both are doing at the expo, how people can find you, where it is, all that good stuff.
Yeah, we'll be in Fair Park this weekend. We'll be there all day Saturday from 10 to 6 at the Dallas Pet Expo, which is one of the amazing pet expos, which are truly amazing. They're all over the country. And people will find all kinds of booths, like our booth. We share a booth, and you know, we'll be talking with people about pet care at our booth. And then from the stage, Rachel and I both will be talking about saving money on pet care and on pet travel. So it's going to be a lot of fun, lots of fun. And, you know, people can go there and look at all the booths and also the adoption area. There's a huge rescue area with lots of local rescues with adoptable dogs and cats and other animals as well. And then they'll have some demonstration areas. Usually they're doing agility and all kinds of different demonstrations with dog training demonstrations. And also Shorty Rossi from Animal Planet's Pit Boss will be there with his dog.
What
they'll be
fun.
Talking and people, yes, it's great fun, and it's all free. They can go there and spend the day with their family and bring their dog too.
It's free. Wow.
It's free.
Some of these places you have to pay quite a hefty price just to go in, right?
That's right, and this is totally free, so you know they can come
How
spend as long
neat.
As they like there. It is really a lot of fun. It's in Fair Park. We will be in the automotive building if people are familiar with Dallas. And hope that, you know, they'll come out and see Preston and see us as well. You know, Preston
what
is a huge
fun.
Draw. He's a huge draw. And we have a lot of giveaways from our booth as well. So it's always a lot of fun.
Love that. Rachel, you mentioned that Preston does earth dog trials. Can you explain a little about that? I read about it once, and it's one of those things where agility has become something that more and more people are familiar with. Dock diving, some people are aware of, but earth dog trials. Now, that's something I only read about once. Can you talk about it and explain to people what it is and
sure.
where you do it and how you do it?
Earth dog is a competition for the terrier breeds. It is to test their natural instincts on going underground and finding rats. So we recently went up to St. Louis to the Purina Farms up there, and they have the different earth dog courses. And it is a tunnel that's underground that they've built, and at the end they put a rat. The rat, of course, is protected in a couple cages, so the dogs really can't get to them, but the dogs
oh
don't know that.
Oh, my God.
And,
I didn't know
and they
this.
Are, mm-hmm. So, and they just get to be dogs. They get to go crazy and go in the tunnels and bark, and when they get to the end with the rat, they have to engage the rat, which is barking and scratching and just letting us know that the rat's there. And there's different levels, and it gets harder, obviously, as you advance. Most of it's different turns. Like, we did the beginners, so they had one turn. But when you get more advanced, there might be five or six turns or a false path for them. So it's pretty much a big maze for them to go find the rats, and they have
and
a blast.
It's underground, but so no one can see them.
Mm-hmm. No, you only see them go in the tunnel and then at the end where the rat is.
Wow, that's wild. Mm-hmm. And who is the rat handler? Who's the one in charge of these rats? I'm just curious.
There's different earth dog clubs that put it on. So each of them have what they call a rat wrangler, and it's their job. And the rats are treated humanely. They're switched out after so often, and they're safely protected. They have treats.
And funny.
And it's someone's job to watch the rats.
Oh, my God, a rat wrangler. See, there's always a career opportunity out there, Paris. If this doesn't out for us, we could be a rat wrangler.
That's right. There's always
That's right. I've heard great things about rats as pets, so they're obviously also a great bait for these dogs. So your dog goes down the tunnel at point A, and then you nervously await him or her, at the exit?
Yes. And at the very end, they can take the top off the tunnel where it comes out of the ground, so you can pull them out. And most of the time, if a dog does stop, they figure out pretty quick that they either need to turn around or go to the end. So I've never heard of one getting stuck in there yet. So.
That's good.
Yeah, that's why you do not want to have a fat terrier. If they go under there like, oh, I'm stuck, I can't turn around. The number to call us if you have any questions or comments about traveling, particularly flying with your dog or setting them down into a tunnel. Turns out there's many things this divine dog does. 888-627-6008. We have a call from Ross. Ross, welcome to Dog Travel Experts. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
What can we help you with, sir?
How does Preston get through the metal detectors at the airports?
Rachel, we talked about that earlier in the show. But explain it again to Ross how you go through the metal detector.
Okay. Sure. He has to come out of his carrier because his carrier will go through with the rest of the luggage with the x-ray. And then I carry him in front of me and we walk through the metal detector. And he has a special collar that has hardly any metal and we walk through and then we get picked for secondary screening in which sometimes they'll pat him down or they'll swipe our paw or his paws or my hands for explosives. But we don't go through the new technology that takes the pictures.
I see. So, well, I just wonder. Well, thank you very much.
Well, Ross, we wanted to salute you for calling in as a first-time caller, and you are going to be the winner tonight of picking a prize from the online prize kennel at dogtipper.com. You are the winner. So if you could send your email address to me, which is radiopetlady@gmail.com. We're going to explain to you how you can go to the Dog Tipper website, and there's what Paris calls the prize kennel. But it's many, many really fantastic different toys and products and great stuff, and you'll get your pick. How does that sound?
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Real great, yeah.
Good.
Well, we're thrilled that you called in. What kind of dog have you got, Ross?
I have a Questie.
No kidding. Oh, my God. Great. A cousin to Preston. How do you like that? Well, Ross, write that down, radiopetlady@gmail.com, because we're dying to know what you'll pick. It really is cool. It's not like little dopey things. It's like really cool things. So radiopetlady@gmail.com. And what is your dog's name?
Sam.
Sam the Westie. Okay, so we're gonna be able to tell people next week what Ross won for Sam the Westie by calling into Dog Travel Experts. We're thrilled to hear from you, sir. Thanks so much for the call.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Nice to hear from you. Bye bye. We're gonna go to our last little break and then we'll finish up this wonderful hour with Rachel. Oh my God, I want to go to an Earth Dog competition, but I wish that they had like transparent Earth so you could see the dog going crazy in the tunnel. We'll be right back, but feel free to call us, 888-627-6008. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to radiopetlady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. And you can get $5 off a first-time order if you put Dog Talk 5 in the code box when you check out. And Rachel, I'd love to ask the people at The Honest Kitchen to send you some samples of their food. It would be great travel food for Preston if he were to get used to this very different kind of food. So I hope that you'll send me your mailing address to RadioPetLady@gmail.com because travelers particularly appreciate the lightness and the compactness of this food, because when you rehydrate it with water, fluffs up, it plumps up and becomes a lot more in quantity than what you're carrying around in your bag. Was there anything else that you wanted to tell people about the Earth Dog Trials, like how they can get started, where they can learn more about it? It's only for terriers, right, or terrier mixes? Rachel? Okay, no Rachel.
Can you hear me?
Yep, there we are. We lost you for a minute.
Hello. Okay. Well, it's mostly for terriers, but the AKC is who oversees the Earth Dog competitions, and they're allowing more and more breeds of the smaller dogs in. My advice is to go to the AKC main site, and there's some tabs that talk all about Earth Dog and will also point you to the local clubs in your area as well and tell you when the next competition is.
That's really neat. How did you first get hooked on it? You just thought he needs to have some fun today, like he doesn't have enough fun going all over the place with you?
We're a member of our local kennel club, and one of the ladies competed in Earth Dog, and when she met Preston, she's like, "You've got to try this. He'll have so much fun."
And was
so
it
she's
true?
She's kind of been our mentor. Oh, yes. Nice. He had a blast.
So does he go in as a very white, fluffy Westie and come out rather covered in dirt like a real boy?
Oh, yes. The first day we tried it, it was raining, and it goes on rain or shine. So he was covered head to toe in mud, and he had so much fun, though. But it's just great to see dogs be able to be dogs, and they can bark and roll in the mud, and no one cares. So it's a lot
of
fun for them.
That is so cool.
And for us.
That is so cool. Well, we really loved having you here. Loved having you here, Rachel. Really enjoyed it. Love your blog, and hope you have a wonderful and safe trip to Dallas, that not anything at all interesting happens in the airport. That it's just the same old, and it goes smooth as glass, and you have a wonderful time with Paris there.
Well, thank you, and it was great chatting with you all.
And with you. We love having you as a special friend. And tomorrow, except for, you're not leaving until Friday, I'm going to be sending you the player for Radio Pet Lady Network. You can put it right up on the blog, and people can click and listen, not just to this show, but to any of them, while they're staying on the blog and reading what Preston has to say when he speaks. So that'll be something fun I'll be sending you tomorrow. Thanks a lot. Really wonderful to talk to you, Rachel. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you.
Bye, Rachel. We'll see you in Texas here soon.
That's right. So, Paris, I'm a little jealous. How cool you could take your dog on the airplane with you when you and I have big dogs, it's out of the question. But probably you have to be a calm-minded kind of person, because you can see that there's ways in which one could get rattled, and you're never going to let yourself get annoyed with anybody, because if you get annoyed with them, they'll just say, forget it, you can't go.
That's it, because it can be rattling just traveling with you and your carry on, much less a dog, it can be tough enough and stressful enough traveling. So, Rachel is so calm, and Preston's such a great dog. He's so well behaved that I think, people really welcome him on the plane. He's a really good ambassador for pet travel. I think that's
definitely
what makes a difference.
One of the things we learn about dogs is whatever you get them used to, they become used to pretty easily and quickly. So the more things we expose them to, the better travelers they'll be and the better companions they'll be.
That is true, because if they're used to it, it's part of their regular routine, because Preston travels a lot. So it's part of his just daily life, and that
That's
way
right.
Your dog has a good time.
Exactly. Paris, thank you so much. Another wonderful show. Loved meeting Rachel, and you have a great time in Dallas. We'll talk next week. Thanks a lot, sweetie.
Bye
for now.
Happy travel.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk next week.